Hi, it is the 13th of January, 2012. This is Wes Fryer. I'm here with Pat Jennings at First Presbyterian Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, and we are going to talk about the medical mission program and mission project to Mexico. Pat, for people that don't know, what is the project and what does it do to further the ends of the church and Christ and to help others in need?
Well, right now, we are going to be doing a water purification down in one of the barrios in Cancun. Yes, there are mission trips to Cancun, believe it or not. And this is through Living Waters for the World, which is a Christian organization out of Arkansas. I'm sorry, it's not out of Arkansas. It's out of Mississippi, Oxford, Mississippi. And it started with our group from Pan American Medical Mission Foundation, and we were trying to figure out what our next mission was going to be. We had been at a standstill. Nothing was going on, and what did we need to do? Well, we also have another mission group here at First Presbyterian that does mission trips over to Kenya. And they had brought a speaker in about a year ago from Solar Under the Sun and Living Waters for the World.
And that one's from Arkansas, I think.
That one is from Arkansas, yes.
Right.
Yeah. And they had a dinner here at the church, and my husband, John, and Nancy Kofer, who was a member here, she since moved to Texas, and I went to the dinner more to support the Kenya group. And I sat there and listened to this man, and he was talking about solar under the sun, which brings in solar energy to third world countries.
And a lot of that's to purify water, too, isn't it?
It's to run the wells.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And also to put electricity in schools and any place else. And he started talking about the Living Waters for the World, which is their sister organizations, through the Presbyterian Church. And the more I listened, the more I said, wow, this is something that we can use in the clinic that we have in a small town, San Cosme, outside of Cancun. So I got some information from them, and then I went home and I started thinking about who. And so I called in my warriors, and it ended up my husband John, myself, Nancy Kofer, Lonnie Wall, who loves to do hands-on mechanical things, and Mike Laska, who also does hands-on mechanical things like that. And the five of us piled into a car, and we drove 10 hours to Oxford, Mississippi, and were trained for 4.5 days on how to put a water system in. And it's a very intricate water system. It's about this, a wall, covers a whole wall.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were there, we went down there with the idea we were going to put it in the clinic, that which we will talk about later.
Right.
After our first meeting, we all had our different areas that we were going to, and we came back for dinner that first night, and to a person, all five of us said, the clinic is not the place to put this.
Mm.
We need to find someplace else. So we started thinking of we have a sister church in Cancun, putting it in there. And so that's where we decided as human beings we were going to put it. But that's not where God decided he was going to have it put. So when we finished our training there and we came back, and I got this email from the coordinator for Living Waters for the World. Her name is Joni Lutkin, and she is the coordinator for the Yucatan Peninsula. And she said, I don't know if you have any place you're going to put where you want to put your system. But I have this pasture in outside of, well, it's a barrio in Cancun, and he has been so interested in this that he's gone to all the meetings around there for this. He's gone and checked out all the other systems down there. Would you be interested in talking with him? So we sent an email to him, and yes, he has this mission. It's called Ministerio de Vida,
which Ministry means of Life. Right.
And he is a school teacher by trade, and his wife, and they felt God's call to put a mission in this barrio, which is a community, very poor community. They are squatters there. And he has, they've built this mission. He has church services. He offers tutoring and a place for the kids to come after school, because either the parents are working or there may be no parents. And so he said the next thing he needed there for the people in the community was clean water.
Wow. So that was very much a God connection
for you
being connected to this place that you hadn't known about before,
mm-hmm.
but had that need.
Very much so. Then the next connection that God put in front of us was they had a church out of McCoin, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, McCoin, Wisconsin, called Crossroads Presbyterian Church. And they've had an 8-year relationship with Jacobo, which is, that's the name of the pastor, Jacobo Kamal and Omega. Jacobo and Omega Kamal. And this church, Crossroads Presbyterian Church, has helped them build this mission down there. So we started talking with them, and we are, to make this part short, we have partnered with them. They have gone down this first week in January and built the building, or started building the building. It's probably 2/3 through.
When you say the building, that'll be for the water system?
For the water system. Yes, and the Mexican government, the health department in Mexico is very particular on how these systems are put in. You have to have three different rooms for cleaning and distributing, and that's not my part of the education in
right.
this Living Waters for the World, so
right.
I'm not sure exactly.
But it's not just one small room or something like that.
No,
it's a more extensive construction requirement.
Very much of an extensive construction requirement, yes. And things have to be cleaned. You have to have certain concrete paths up to the building and so on and so forth. And so they have had a group down there building the building, and then they also have hired a foreman down there to continue with it.
Uh-huh.
So,
do they have a Facebook page or a website where they're sharing some photos yet, or a place where we might be able to direct people?
They have been forwarding pictures.
Okay, because that's part of the reason we're doing this, is
right.
we want to get the word out, let more people know about it. We're going to do, another series. We're about 9 minutes here. This is kind of a history background. We're going to do another one to talk about the specific upcoming mission.
Mm-hmm.
But in the links that will accompany this, whether you're seeing this as a video or just hearing the audio, that's what we're working on, so we'll mm-hmm. work on getting some links to share.
Okay.
Let me ask you, I think of Cancun, I think of resorts, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I did live in Mexico, and I know that there's the resort area right by the beach,
mm-hmm.
and you can just go a short distance away, and there's abject poverty. So how do you describe to people the need for a water system in a place that sounds as luxurious and wealthy as Cancun?
Mm-hmm.
Because people might not even connect the idea of poverty with the name Cancun.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you've been to Cancun, you know that Americans do not drink the water there. They do not drink the water coming out of the faucets in the hotels. You can go to the fanciest hotel and you don't drink the water because you'll get sick. You make sure that your ice cubes are purified.
And this is actually a common problem in a lot of the world. I mean, we really take for granted in, in many parts of the U.S., pretty much most parts. We turn on the tap, you drink the water. So that's important to know that even in the hotels, I haven't been to Cancun, but it's not like, you know, the water problems is just over there in the barrio. It's a problem throughout.
It's a problem throughout third world countries.
Yes.
So, I mean, in Mexico, just we know about Mexico just because Mexico's close to us.
Right.
In Cancun, like you said, you can go to the hotel zone, which is where the fancy restaurants and hotels and the beaches are. You can even go downtown Cancun, which is the business section of Cancun, and you can stay there. And we stay there a lot of times when we go there. But this area is North Cancun, and it is, they are squatters. These people have come in and originally put up shacks, and because the economy down there is so bad, the economy up here in the United States is bad, the economy down there is even worse.
Right.
And the average, if someone has a job down there, they make $5 a day.
Mm.
And
so the idea of providing clean water in the community is a gigantic, huge thing that touches everyone. That's not just a few folks. This is something that in the community, for those that can have access, we're talking about a really big deal that has an impact on all ages, you know, and really all demographics.
Well, and when you figure someone who has a job is making $5 a day and they go and want clean water, to go and buy a bottle of, everybody knows the Ozarka water bottles, they're 5 gallon bottles.
Right.
A 5 gallon bottle down there will cost upwards of $3.50.
Wow.
So are you going to go and buy food for your family, or are you going to go buy clean water?
And then, and the consequence of the dirty water is, I would suspect, disease. And what are the conditions that the people...
They get worms. They get
dysentery.
They get,
all kinds
same
of bad
thing
things.
We get. Maybe not as bad as what we get, because when we go down there and drink the water, because their body has become immune to a lot of things. But there are things in the water that... that can't be taken care of through that system. I mean, we get people that say, well, why can't you just throw chlorine in the water? Well, chlorine doesn't kill anything, and chlorine tastes bad.
That's right.
You're not going to drink it. The other thing is that so people don't go buy the water, they go buy Coke.
Yeah.
Or Coke-like products,
and
soda
and
pop.
The result of, we know that in the United States too, lots
bad
of
teeth.
Soda consumption does not lead to healthy bodies.
Right. Yeah, so because Coke is cheaper than water.
Coke is cheaper than water there. That's crazy. Well, if this has been of interest to you, we hope that it is. We appreciate you listening. We're going to do some other parts in this series. Part of our hope is to get the word out about this mission project, to let you know about it, the history of it, but also what's going on now and how you can become involved, because I think you all are looking for volunteers. Mm-hmm. You're looking for financial support. Mm-hmm. And... you know, there's a lot of different ways that we're in ministry, and the things we take for granted when it comes to the tap, you know, it doesn't get much more basic than that as far as a need that everyone has.
Right.
And I want to hear more about God's actions in this, and we'll talk maybe in the next episode too about the San Cosme Medical Mission, because we need people to know, particularly in our church, but anyone who's interested. Maybe you can just say this as we wrap up. How many years have we been involved down there? Because this isn't something that just the well part has happened recently, but not the medical mission part. How long have we been down there?
Pan American Medical Mission Foundation, which is the originator of this, it's been around for over 20 years.
Wow.
And the clinic in San Cosme, Yucatan, has been up and running for about 15 years. 10 to 15 years, there's been some breaks in there. But,
right. A very sustained program. So we will continue and invite you to please check out our show notes and get some links as well as photographs and other information about this mission project to Mexico.